Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk Portland, Intercom Radio Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, with information this time on how you can help out people affected and devastated by the wildfires this summer. Let's talk about it. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Ken Brown with the Hope Project and Kristen Lincoln from Living Room Realty. Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Gary.
Sure. Well, Ken, let's get started with you and have you explain to us what the Hope Project is.
The Hope Project is a nonprofit based here out of Eugene. We're kind of a fast response group in the sense that we get calls on a daily basis or people punch in through our website asking for mainly we do a lot with families. We do a lot with kids in the area. So we'll take, 30 or 40 calls a day that relate to maybe beds that kids need. They're sleeping on the floor. Lots of school district people will call us and say kids don't have coats or shoes or school supplies or backpacks or whatever it may be. And then obviously in the recent months, it's been working with the Holiday Farm fire that happened here right up to our borders here in Springfield. And we've been working tirelessly with meals and helping find lodging and clothing and just getting people back on their feet.
How long has the Hope Project been going? How long have you been doing this?
About 10 years. About 10 years ago, some businessmen came to me and said, "Hey, Ken, we just feel like we'd really like to help our community and help kids and help families. We don't really want to make it public who we are. So if you would," and I had been in the nonprofit world before that. And so I said, "If you would like, or we would like you to kind of put something together and we'd help you, we'll provide funding and get our friends and people together. And we just want to keep finding projects that we can do that maybe people that fall through the cracks aren't getting some aid that they might get from the state or the city. And we just want to, find projects and just go for it." So that's kind of where the roots came from.
Sounds like you have some angels hanging out with you.
I have some good guys. I have some good people, and the community is a great community. And my job is fun.
Do you have any idea how many people you've helped out over the years?
Oh, man. I don't. I mean, like, for example, the last month before the fire, we probably furnished 41 apartments for single moms working with the state, women who'd come out of abuse situations recovery situations, and they got enough money to get an apartment from the state, but they couldn't get it furnished. So we provide them with furniture and beds and dishes and things of that sort, so they can kind of get back on their feet. Two years ago, for backpacks, we did 12,000 backpacks at the stadium here in Eugene at the U of O. So, I mean, the number's probably pretty large, but I couldn't, in the tens of thousands, I'll say, but I don't know exactly.
That's awesome. Congratulations for helping out.
No, thank you.
So, this past summer, the wildfires were a huge deal, and on their own, they were a huge deal, but also
of course, happened during a pandemic, which made it even worse. Yeah. And it's been crazy times, to say the very least. So tell me, how did the wildfires affect the Central Oregon community?
Well, the Holiday Farm fire, which is the one that most closely affected us, starting from the Blue River area, which if you were leaving Eugene and going to Bend, you would take 126. It's the main road. It started about 43 miles east of us, and it has taken out. There used to be a town called Blue River, which is completely gone. So we've lost an entire city. It's wiped out businesses. It's wiped out, 1,100 structures, many of those homes. It's taken out all the power. It's taken out all the communication, so there's no cell towers left. It's pretty much put it at a standstill. And you've got problems when it rains now. You've lost all the foliage and the trees, and so we've had landslides already with just a small amount of rain we've had. The river's full of, it's one of the most traveled as far as guides for fishing and whitewater rafting, and it's just unpassable in some areas. And so it's really affected every area of, obviously, people who have lost their homes, but businesses who are now gone, people's summer homes who are gone, and tourism, which has just taken a huge pounding in that area, which all those people, many of those people, I'll say, really fed on. They counted on those people coming up there to fish, or to on their way to go skiing, or on their way to go to their cabins or whatever it may be. And it's just it's really hard hit area.
So is the area still without power and without telephone service and other utilities? Wow.
Correct. There's we took water up. We got a call last week that they ran out of water because there's probably 100 or so, 110 homes that still don't have power. And so they can't cook, they can't flush their toilets, they can't do anything because there's no city services up there. It's all rural. And so everybody's on a well or a septic system. Well, without power, none of those things work. So yeah, it's still pretty grim for some of the people, yes.
How are these people managing day to day?
Man, I'll tell you, they're strong people. They got a great community. They're getting great help from a lot of resources. I mean, obviously we're one, but there's other people up there that are, providing some services too. But they're just kind of grinding it out. I mean, you've got people living in motorhomes back on, just plots of land with nothing left. You've got people living in tents. There's just some people that, no homeowners insurance. They don't have anything left. And so they pitched a tent basically back on the property, and they're just using a Coleman stove and trying to survive. So they're just gutting it out every day and trying to find services enough to live and feed their families and move on to the next one. It's almost unbelievable to watch. I get to go up there a couple times a week, and it's really unbelievable to see people living, trying to survive under those circumstances. It's something you see on TV. It's something you watch that happens somewhere else. And all of a sudden, it's kind of our 9/11, or, put your stamp on, it's our hurricane. It's whatever you think you've seen somewhere else. It's happened right here on our doorstep.
My goodness. That's tough to hear.
Yeah.
But it's reality.
It's rough to watch.
Yeah. We are talking today with Ken Brown of the Hope Project, and also with us today is Kristen Lincoln from Living Room Realty. Now, Kristen, every year, it seems like for the last few years anyway, I always get to talk to you because you and Living Room Realty are always willing to help out. And this year, you're helping out the Hope Project.
We are, and we're always so grateful for your help in getting the message out. As you know, in the past, we've always run a really robust, successful, brand new coat drive with a partner here in town. And this year it just didn't feel like the right move. There obviously, pandemic, fires, all these kind of big, heavy things happening. And so we kind of set about searching for something a little bit different that felt more relevant. And I came upon the Hope Project, and I was so impressed with the way that, donations and money flows through directly and swiftly to the folks in need, and just the scope of work that they do, from getting a kid a pair of shoes to, when the wildfires ripped through this town. People left at a moment's notice. And the Hope Project, in less than 24 hours, had food carts at hotels, motels, campsites to feed not only the displaced folks, but also people who are working to fight the fire. And so we saw them as a great partner for, you know, our giving project this fall to help help them do their amazing work.
And what amazing work it is, man. And sounds like it's tireless and ongoing for sure.
Ongoing. And that's when I, you know, first called and I spoke with Ken about, you know, kind of what they were doing, excuse me, and how they were helping. You know, one of the things that he said to me that really struck me is like, this isn't going to be over by Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know, this is a long, you know, a long haul, and we're going to need supplies and help for a good duration. And, you know, whatever we can do to help put a dent in their needs, we're so excited to do.
These fires were really devastating in one of the most beautiful areas of Oregon. So a lot of us here in the Portland metro area travel that way. We go to Bend, we go to Central Oregon, we go to Southern Oregon. How can we help out?
Well, right now, well, that's what I asked Ken, because the need is so great, right? It can be overwhelming. Oh, they need everything. These folks literally lost everything that they had. So we tried to kind of boil it down to where are they at in the process and what's the most immediate need. And something as simple that maybe we all take for granted we have laying around in our shed is shovels. Shovels, flathead, roundhead, metal rakes, garden hoses for cleaning up, work gloves to protect their hands. In order to rebuild, a cleanup is going to have to happen. And they need literally thousands of tools. You know, these tools are put to hard work. They're going to break. They're going to get worn out. The homeowners there don't have their own tools because they all burn up. So something as simple as a shovel is going to do a lot of work for someone who needs it.
Yeah, you say they need everything, but, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have thought a shovel would be the first thing that they would need. I would think clothes, maybe food, shelter. But you're right. Tools are super important right now.
Yeah, really, really impactful. And I was thinking about just the journey of one shovel, say. Somebody gets inspired by this project and goes out and shops, or maybe they have a sturdy used shovel in their, you know, shed or garage, and they give it to me, and we have this moment of gratitude in their gifting of this tool, and then I get to give it to Ken, and then we have this moment of gratitude and gifting, and then he gets to empower, you know, volunteers and the homeowners by giving them what they need. It's just kind of the journey of joy, if you will, that one simple shovel can have.
Where, how, and when can people locally make a donation?
Well, because of the pandemic, our offices aren't open on, you know, obviously a regular schedule, but you can call, you can go to livingroomre.com, call our main number, and we will coordinate a time to meet you and get your supplies. We also have some predetermined drop-off time slots, windows of time in our southeast and our southwest location. So you can, again, go to livingroomre.com, call that number, and find out if there's a drop date that works for you. And if there isn't, someone will meet you. I would even be, if you ask for Kristen Lincoln and you're in the Portland metro area, I'd be happy to come and collect your donations from you as well. Whatever it takes to get, you know, the tools in the hands of these folks who need them is what we want to do.
And that's what's amazing about you, Kristen, is you are just always there. You're ready to help.
It's overwhelming to think about all the need in the world, right? So we just have to pick a thing and do what we can. So that's what I'm happy to do.
Well, thank you for doing the work you do. We're talking with Kristen Lincoln from Living Room Realty and Ken Brown with the Hope Project. Ken, what does it mean to have Living Room Realty be on your side like this?
Well, you know, it's a little overwhelming because you receive this email from someone you don't know, and it says, hey, you know, you don't know us, but here's who we are, and here's what we do, and we'd love to help. We've kind of, you know, done a little research on who you are, and could you send us a little more information, and we'd like to have a conversation about coming together. And then you have that conversation, and you realize, man, these people are passionate. They love what they do. I was in their office meeting this morning, and they're a great group, a fun group. They were welcoming people that they hadn't seen for a while back. I mean, it's to have this the quality of people, and I'll admit I did a little research on them too to find out who we're working with, and so I'm overwhelmed, and I'll say this. I get to work with a lot of good partners in this project and many other ones. And these people are just what they've done and what they do for during this time of the year, as well as all year long. I don't know that I have a whole bunch of words to say, except, you know, that they're great and it means the world, because I know what it means to the people on the end of the line to get a new shovel or a rake. I mean, you might think, well, you know, we're giving them a shovel, you know, Merry Christmas. No, I mean, this is life changing because they're starting from zero and they've got to clean this area out so they can do what they're going to do next. And it's a tool it really will. I mean, I know it sounds maybe silly or cliche-ish, but it will change the lives of people by putting a new shovel or by putting a rake in their hand.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what has the response been from the community that's was so affected by the fires? What has their response been to this generosity?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, the people are overwhelmed. They're in great need, obviously, but most of the time you'd never know it. They're not up there asking. They're not calling and going, hey, we don't have a house. We need. I mean, they are. It's tough to even give to them. Like I said, they're a tough crowd, and they know they need that. But you know, people have a hard time sometimes accepting. But I think once you step back and look at it, and they understand, hey, we're not there to put our name on a banner or anything. We just want to, you know, get you and your family, especially the ones with families. It's just life. It's just gut-wrenching to watch kids walk across the ashes of their house for the first time and know that was their bedroom, or, you know, this used to be their fireplace, or, you know, they can't find their dog because he ran. I mean, but they're grateful. Let me say that. They are just more than grateful, and we want to do whatever we can.
What's the response been from people donating? Are people really giving right now?
Oh my goodness. We are getting so much response. It's great. It's been great. Strangers coming to our office, calling, phoning in, bringing. Cause one of the other things that we're doing is collecting crock pots and toaster ovens for the folks who don't have, you know, proper kitchen. And, you know, a lot that obviously resonated with a lot of people. We're getting a lot of crock pots for you, Ken.
That's awesome.
Nice. That's awesome.
Well, you know what? This is a perfect time to be shopping, too, because just about everything's got a pretty good price tag on it. You can get some inexpensive things to help out. That's awesome.
Yeah, stretch a dollar.
Yeah, and let me say just real quick, too, you guys know this, but it's, you know, you to help out during a pandemic is makes it 10 times as hard than it would be if, you know, it's never good to lose this many cities and towns and houses in a fire. But man, to try to do it when the circumstances surrounding in a pandemic, the people at least in this area and the people up there, it's just been overwhelming because it's not easy. It's not easy to give. It's not easy to, you know, to help, to work, to volunteer. And yet people have, they've shined in this moment of darkness.
Well, Kristen has let us know how people
are really showing up.
Oh, good. Good. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Well, Kristen kind of explained to us, definitely explained to us how people can help out in the Portland metro area. But if folks are listening south of Portland, kind of even down near Springfield and Eugene, how can they help out down there, Ken?
They can go to hopeprojecthelps.com and do the same thing. They can request, they can look for the location of our warehouse. They can drop stuff off there. Right now, there's usually someone there almost all the time working. We're doing a big Christmas present thing for some of the kids that live up in that area. We're collecting the tools and getting ready to take up there. So that's the best way. They can call that number that they find on that website, and they can even donate if they choose to say, hey, I can't shop, but I'd love to have some new tools bought. You know, they can go online there, and there's a give button, and they can give there too, and help out that way.
And money's always a good thing, right?
It's never bad. It's never bad.
How do you guys distribute all this stuff to the people that need it?
We have a great system. And also, let me say this. Kristen mentioned it, but we're a 100% volunteer based group. And so no one takes a paycheck, no one takes any money. And so every dollar goes there. So what we do is, I mean, we're figuring the needs. I probably go up there, like I said, a couple times a week. We have a guy. We just loaded a gentleman with truck with the toilet paper this morning who's headed up that way because that's what they needed. But we get a call or an email from the two service centers that we help support up there. And they're just basic need centers, but we find out what they need. And then I kind of go up and just walk through the town and talk to guys that are working in their houses and find out from local people, you know, where are we in the process? What's going to happen next? What will you guys need next? And that's why when we started this conversation, we knew kind of where they were going to be in the process, and we knew that the tool thing was going to be big and vital starting from now till, boy, you know, months to come. And so if we could get these tools in their hands, based on what we knew the timeline was, it would be good. So we're just kind of, you know, ears to the ground, boots on the ground up there, trying to keep in touch with them.
Ken, what are some of the unique challenges facing these people that were affected by the wildfires? Some things maybe people hadn't thought of.
The road is the biggest challenge. The 126 is a two-lane road that just really still hasn't been fully operational because you probably have four or five stops that you get, places you get stopped on the way up there. It's just a small road, but they're still trying to string wire for electricity. There's lots of slide areas because it's a river on one side and it's cliffs on the other, and so when the rains come without the trees being there, you've got stuff sliding in. They're still trying to remove trees. That's a big one. So the, you know, what used to be a 45 minute drive can turn out to be a, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour drive sometimes, depending on where the work is. So getting supplies up there is not always easy, but simple basic things like electricity and the internet. You know, they just don't have it anymore, and it's just kid with the pandemic. The kids are trying to take school online. They can't, so they all have to meet in a parking lot where they can actually get service. And you'll go up there at a restaurant up there in Blue River, and you'll see all these families sitting in their cars trying to have their kids do homework because it's the only place they can get internet access to do the work. You know, since they can't go to school. It's simple things that we, you know, sometimes don't think of that have been a huge challenge for them.
And what about the weather? What's the weather like in the wintertime there?
It's going to get cold. It's, you know, the elevation is a little bit above Eugene, so you're not quite you're just at the base of the Cascades. So you're going to get a lot colder weather. You're going to get some snow when we wouldn't get it down here. And when it rains here, it rains colder there. So it's a little different. I'll tell you, it's their average, you know, temperatures a lot lower than ours because of the elevation they're at.
Boy, it's wintertime too.
Yep.
Well, let's bring Kristen back in and have her, Kristen, explain to us how people can help out here locally in the Portland metro area.
Yeah, if you would like to help these folks, you know, start building back, we are looking for sturdy, can be used or new, round-tipped, flat-tipped shovels, metal garden rakes, hoses. We'd like to have, you know, every family have their own hose. Work gloves. They're going to burn through work gloves like crazy, so we'd love to have lots of gloves for, you know, the folks rebuilding and the volunteers that go out to help. In addition to that, we're wanting to support the folks who are trying to get back to their community. And one of the things that, you know, Ken mentioned, he was at our virtual meeting, company meeting today. One of the things that really struck me is that they are building a shed at every home site so they can house these tools permanently there for whoever needs to use them, the homeowner or volunteers if they come up. But what, you know, and they're buying motorhomes and they're basically working on getting the community back to their hometown and together, which I thought was really powerful. Is, you know, you've lost your town, and if we can, you know, help you not lose your community at the same time, they can be there to support each other. So, you know, that means maybe being in, you know, a trailer or something that doesn't have a proper kitchen. So we're supporting those efforts by also collecting crock pots, toasters, toaster ovens. We got a couple skillets, you know, anything that could help, you know, somebody cook and be self-sufficient over the winter. And as you mentioned, you know, we're in a pandemic. It's not like they're going out to eat. Yeah. And, you know, they've just lost everything, so that's not sustainable anyway. So some tools, some cooking stuff, crock pots, toaster ovens would be great. And then if you want to get them in our hands so we can get them to Ken, you just go to livingroomre.com. You can call the number there or email welcome@livingroomre.com and find out how to make an appointment to drop off your donations, how to get your donations picked up from your home, or if there is a pre-scheduled drop date that would work best for you.
I'd like to thank both of you for doing the work that you're doing and helping the people out in Blue River and the Holiday Farm Fire. That you're doing amazing work. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, a podcast is available online. Just search Let's Talk Portland on the radio.com app. Let's Talk Portland is an Entercom public affairs program.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.